I know this morning you guys, because you saw in the bulletin or you saw on Facebook that I was speaking, you came expecting this mind-blowing sermon, right? You guys are going to just be, I'm just going to melt some faces, right, with the sermon that I'm about to deliver or whatever. But something happened this weekend to me personally that just, it sort of shifted my thinking. And coming into preparing for this week, and actually I'm going to be speaking for the next 2 weeks, I had this plan, right? You come up with a plan on your own. You start working out like what you need to do and whatever. And somehow God delivers or kind of like drops in your lap this aha moment, right? And I think God has an aha moment for every one of us. Sometimes we can't hear it, or we're not too sensitive that this is what God is doing, like in the midst of trials and all that stuff. So anyway, this morning what I want to do is just take some time to kind of share my heart a little bit and share a little bit about what happened to me and our family this weekend. And, you know, I don't want to get too serious right off the bat, but I want you to hear me. I want you to hear my heart. I want you to hear what God spoke to me and revealed to me. And I know that God has a similar word in revelation for every one of us here this morning. But we have to come in expectancy. When we come and arrive on a Sunday morning, we have to know that God wants to share his wisdom with you. God wants you to know his ways are not your ways, right? How many here believe that? How many here believe that God's ways are not our ways? How many here believe that God's thoughts are not our thoughts? That as much as the heavens are from higher than the earth, the scripture says, his ways are higher than our ways. And as much as the heavens are higher than the earth, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? And this is rhetorical, but Cherie, how do you know that his ways are not our ways, right? How do you know that? Your mouth's full because you're eating. I'm sorry, you can't answer. But this is rhetorical, right? Krisha, how do you know that God's ways are not our ways, that his ways are higher, that his ways are right and righteous? How do you know that? Other than knowing that that's what it says in the book of Isaiah, how do you know that? You see, when we walk through life, a lot of times we have a plan. Right? We start preparing for things that come up. And we spend very little time and energy pursuing God's wisdom and everything. Pursuing what God wants to do and say and demonstrate through it all. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning a little bit. As I kind of share a little story with you and what God was revealing to me as far as this whole process is concerned. Now, Les preached about wisdom towards the beginning of the summer. And I think as the school year's starting now, it's kind of a good full circle to come back to it because, well, before I go on, if you guys have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Colossians in chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading out of there first. Book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Give you a second to get there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And I'm just going to, let me read the first couple of verses and I'll share some thoughts on this. It says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So when the author writes this letter to the church, In the Colossians, he says that they do not cease to pray for these people. And it's not that they're praying that these people would perform many miracles. It's not that they were praying that this group of people, this group of believers, would be walking in the prophetic every single day. Right? They weren't asking for bigger numbers at their congregation. What they were praying for was wisdom and spiritual understanding and knowledge of God. And this is something that a lot of times we can get confused about. Because what happens is that we can misinterpret what we call knowledge and understanding and think that we can gain wisdom from those things, when really the kingdom and the way it works is a little different and is a little backwards. Friday morning, I we get a text message from my brother and sister-in-law, and she's 9 months pregnant, and she's about a week past due already, so we've been waiting like every day for this text that she's going to go into labor, right? And we get a text early in the morning that her water broke, that she's starting to feel contractions. They're coming regular. They're coming strong. So we're like, okay, this is it. Now, they were having the baby at Willowbrook at the Methodist Hospital, and we happen to live like almost right across the way, so our place was kind of going to be home base. They were going to bring their kids over, and we were going to watch them throughout the day, which was mainly me because Giselle, as many of you know, she's a doula and a birthing partner, so she was perfect. I mean, it just worked out perfectly for her to be there and support my brother and his wife as she's going through labor. So anyway, they bring the boys over, and, you know, they just totally just trash our place. They're little 2 and 3 years old, and, you know, right around the same age as Johnny. And, I mean, you turn around for 1 second, right? Little boys, they just, like, completely, it looked like a tornado. It literally just went through our place. Anyway, there's toys everywhere. We're having a great time. Giselle's with my sister-in-law. Most of the day, she's there for about 10 hours or so, and then she comes home to take a break. She's still in labor. She's still laboring, and so we're kind of just waiting. They have to administer some what's called Pitocin, and that's to help induce the labor a little bit more to get, you know, to further along the process and kind of speed it up a little bit. So she's been on that, right? And so Giselle comes home, and she's we're going to take a nap, or we're going to go to sleep, and just we're kind of on standby. And then we get a text, and it's about maybe 1 or 2 in the morning, maybe a little, actually it was a little earlier than that. We get a text that baby arrived, Gideon Daniel, perfect little name, and baby arrived, but we get a little update. When he actually arrived, he wasn't breathing on his own, and in fact, he had ingested a lot of fluid. And so they were rushing him to the neonatal ICU because at this point, a baby needs oxygen. More than they need food, more than they need mommy's milk, what they need most important is oxygen. And so when you get a text message that says, we just had the baby, but he's not breathing, it's a little unnerving to say the least. And the reason why it's so unnerving is because we don't know all the facts. We don't have a full scale or full scope of knowledge about the situation. And Isaac, my brother, was rushed to the NICU with the baby, and he was able to be with him. But he was very limited as far as what he could update at the moment because the doctors were working on him and stuff. And so I didn't actually get the text. Giselle did, and she came into the room where I was preparing and studying for this for this morning. And she tells me what's happening. And you know, she's not here, but, and I'm sure she'd be fine with sharing. She starts to come apart a little bit emotionally, and rightly so, right? This is a very tense situation, and so right then and there, I heard the Lord say, "Let's just pray. Let's invite the Lord into this situation." So I held her, and we hugged, and we started praying, and I kept reminding her, I was like, "Do not act, do not react, because we don't have." We don't have all the facts yet, but let's just pray. And so we prayed, and of course, you know, I'm the husband, so I'm leading by example, right? I'm full of faith that God is the healer, that God's going to see us through this situation, and that he's going to intervene divinely. But I got to go see what's going on. It's right across the street, and I know I got to be with my brother because I don't know what he's going through. And I get in the car, and I turn on the car, and in my mind, I decided I wanted to start praying on the way there. But I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you're just so beside yourself that something traumatic or possibly traumatic just kind of, you kind of short-circuit a little bit, and I couldn't even get the words out to pray. And I started to get angry. And I was really confused, and that's probably what led to some anger. And for the first time in my life, I think, I told God, I said, if anything happens to this baby, I'm going to hold you directly responsible. And if anything happens to this baby, I don't think I can forgive you. And that was like the first time I really let out any kind of anger towards God, I feel like. And Because in my head, what I can do is reason that it's really not God's fault, right? This is just a process. This just happens to be something that happens to, it's not a very common thing. It's not uncommon, right? But it happens to a lot of babies. But it didn't matter. I didn't care. This was my nephew. And I knew the kind of things that my brother and my sister-in-law would go through. And so for the first time, I was like, God, if anything happens to this baby, I'm not going to forgive you for it. And on the way to the hospital, I'm quiet. I can't even pray. I can't even gather my thoughts, right? But all I can think of is his name is Gideon. And all I can think of is the story. And all I can think of is Gideon. And I say, Gideon, don't stop fighting. Gideon, don't stop fighting. That's all I could say. I said, just Gideon, keep fighting, Gideon, keep fighting, right? Against all odds, keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting. And so I get to the hospital, and at Methodist, past a certain time, you can't walk in through the main entrance. You have to go all the way around to the emergency center. And then it seemed like the birthing tower where women and children are kept, it's like half a mile away, right? So perfect. I have a long walk. I gotta walk until I find out what's going on, right? And I get there, and the Lord begins to just speak to me, right? He begins to comfort me, and then I realize I have no control over this situation. I have no control. And when we get to a situation or when circumstances look like they are completely out of control and we don't have all the facts to line up, what do you do? What do you do when you do not know what to do next? And the first thing we have to do is ask God for his wisdom. That's the first thing. Wisdom always comes first. Wisdom always comes first. In the book of Proverbs in chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. I didn't have all the facts. And I had no control over the situation, but I knew I had to go to God for his wisdom first. Now, this week, I was preparing this little sermon, and I was going to play off of something. I was telling Barbara a little bit about it, but Giselle and I, Judah started back at school, and for many of you know, he's homeschooled, but we're part of a homeschool community, and we actually adhere to a classical model of education. And some of you may know, have heard kind of like what classical education is. Many of you may not know the details about it. And just to be brief, one aspect of classical education is what's called the trivium model. Okay, you guys don't have to remember this, but it's called the trivium model. And there's three phases a student will go through. Okay, there's the grammar phase, which is usually for younger students, and it's full of knowledge and packing them in with a lot of information. And secondly, there's another phase called the dialectic phase, and it's based on understanding. It's based on how to organize that information and those thoughts. And the third phase, usually for older students right before going into college, is what's called the rhetoric phase. And what they're able to do is master that information and how it's organized, and then be able to master it to the point where they can teach it themselves. And they can talk about it themselves and debate with themselves about it and wrestle with that. And so anyway, this week I was preparing. I was like, that's perfect, right? That's perfect. You get knowledge, and then from that knowledge, you can pull out meaning, and then from that meaning, you can pull out wisdom, right? This is perfect. But I couldn't figure out how to fit. I was stumbling. I kept hitting a wall, and I didn't know why I couldn't put those thoughts together. I didn't know why it wasn't working. And the Lord told me in that moment, he's like, it's not working because it's not right. It may be right for certain subjects in English and science and certain temporary things. But when it comes to the eternal, when it comes to the kingdom, his wisdom comes first. The way to apply knowledge, the way to take the next step, the way to ask him to direct your path is to get wisdom first. That's what comes first. Even when you don't have all the facts and you're in a situation that you can't control, you have to get his wisdom first. And we're going to pray towards that a little towards the end. How do you get that wisdom? Because that's what I want. I know there is a way that God wants me to do things. It's called righteous. It's called his kingdom. I know that his ways aren't my ways and his thoughts aren't my thoughts. And that's what I want for my life. And I know that's what you want for yours too. So I'm walking down the hallway and the Lord's telling me, I will tell you what to do next. Okay? I can't do anything. That's the thing. The baby's in the hands of the doctors and the medical team. I can't do anything, but I can seek his wisdom, right? So I'm walking down this hallway, and it seems like forever. I'm having to go through one building, and I'm going into the lobby of the next, and then I'm having to cut, and there's this little map that the security guard gave me, and I can't read this. I'm beside myself, right? I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. And then I pass up, and right on the left, it says chapel. And I'm like, oh, gosh. And I said to myself, I said, I don't want to go in there. You know, I just want to get to where I'm going because I need to know. I need to know. But the Lord said, go in there. And so I went in the chapel, and there's a piano over there in the front. And there's a big sign, though. It says, please do not use unless you've reserved it during a specific service time. And I was like, I can't even use it. But the Lord said, go sit down at that piano, no matter how awful a piano player you are. And I want you to worship me. I want you to worship me. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. Life is literally hanging in the balance. I don't have time to sit down and worship you, Lord. But I do it anyway, because that was his wisdom in that moment. And I sat down at the piano, and I turned it on. It was a little electronic piano. I turned it on, and I just started playing. And I started worshiping. And then all of a sudden, something lifted off of me. And then that's when I realized, I said, yes, the Lord knows what to do. The Lord knows what to do, and he will direct your steps. He will direct your path. As long as you seek wisdom first, his wisdom first. And so I worshiped, and God told me, this is exactly what I made you to do. Right? This is your righteousness. This is your righteousness that I'm giving to you. Righteousness is sort of this fancy word that you hear in church, right? Righteousness is just basically right. It's you living right. It's you working right. It's you doing what you were made to do, working right, running right. If an engine breaks down, you need a mechanic. And even though you may know all the parts and you may know how they fit together, if something happens, most of us wouldn't know how to fix it. You need whoever designed that engine. You need who knows how it works, right? To set the engine right so that it can run right, operate right, and do exactly what it was made to do. And that's exactly what God was calling me to do, was just to worship him for a small time. Which brings me to Romans in chapter 1. You don't have to turn there, but in Romans in chapter 1 in verse 21, regarding wisdom, it says, because although they knew God, they knew him. This is a little scary. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their own thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So the second thing about wisdom is wisdom glorifies and thanks God. Wisdom glorifies and thanks God. It isn't what we do on our own. And so when I was preparing, I was like, okay, with this whole trivia model, classical model thing, you get wisdom as a byproduct of what you learn. But in the kingdom, you get wisdom because God has given it to you as a gift. Okay? And God wants to give that to you today. God wants to he wants you to have his wisdom. How do I expand my business? Seek wisdom. How do I fix my marriage? Seek his wisdom. Right? How do I become a better pastor? Seek his wisdom. How do I become a better father, husband, wife, daughter? Seek his wisdom. Okay? That's got to be the first thing. But you also have to worship. You have to praise. You have to give thanks. Because if you don't, that's when Paul's here in the Romans. He warns. You can know him. You can know God, but if you fail to be thankful or glorify him, you become futile in your own thoughts. It doesn't matter what you know. It doesn't matter what you think you know or what you think you understand. It's futile. It's useless. It's throwaway without his wisdom. It doesn't matter. And then when you profess to be wise, you actually become fools. In the book of Proverbs, reference this in a minute, but even in the book of Proverbs, what is a fool? It says, a fool says in his own heart, there is no God. He doesn't recognize where that wisdom comes from. He doesn't recognize that there is a better way, and wisdom will create a better way for you. Wisdom will create a third way all the time, but it's got to be his, because it's divine. It's eternal, right? It's up here. His wisdom isn't pulled out of temporal knowledge out of this world. It's divine, and it's being introduced into a temporary world through us as the vessels. Through you, through me. God wants to download that into you and give it to other people. So I got out from the piano, and I felt this peace. And it wasn't that I knew for a fact. It wasn't because I knew whether or not Gideon was going to be okay. And many of you, I think right now, are probably wondering what happened. Right? That's how I know that a lot of us, that's the carnality of our hearts. We just need to know facts. Because if we know, then all of a sudden we can feel okay. Right? But that's not the point here. It's God's wisdom first. So I'll tell you what happened, but not I'll tell you in a minute. But as I was walking through the hallway, right, I just kept leaning on God's wisdom. You worshiped me first, okay? You set precedent for you and your family. You established something new, all right? As soon as you walk, it's not going to be a spirit of fear. It's not going to be doubt that's gonna rule the hospital room. As soon as you walk in, you're bringing in my wisdom, okay? And in Proverbs in chapter 4 and verse 3, I love this verse. It says, through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is established. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Okay? Wisdom forges, this is the third thing, wisdom forges a dwelling place for you and your family. Wisdom forges a dwelling place for you and your family. There's another verse in Proverbs that goes right along with this, which is pretty awesome. It's in Proverbs. Let me see. I'm so sorry. I don't have my Bible. I don't even have my notes, guys. I'm so sorry. It's in Proverbs in chapter 3. Let me just go to it here really quick. And there's a verse that goes right along with this when it says, the Lord uses wisdom to build a house. He uses understanding to establish it and uses knowledge to fill the rooms with riches. And in Proverbs in chapter 3, this is what he says. He says, by wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, he created the heavens. By his knowledge, the deep fountains of the earth burst forth and the dew settles beneath the night sky. Even from the beginning, by wisdom, the Lord created the earth. And the Lord wants you to forge your dwelling place for you and your family by his wisdom first. By his wisdom first. And by his wisdom, you will get, like we read already in Proverbs chapter 4, you will get understanding. And then you will begin to get knowledge. And that understanding, when it says establishes your house, what that really means is expands your house. It expands your dwelling place. Just like in the very beginning of creation, he says he created the heavens. He founded the earth, but then he expanded it with the heavens, right? And then knowledge fills the room with precious treasures. It makes it livable. It makes it habitable. The dew settles beneath the night sky. The fountains of the earth burst forth, and that's with water. It makes it habitable. You can live in it. He gives you the knowledge, so that way he knows. He knows how we are, but we have to seek his wisdom first. So I get in the room. I finally get to where I'm going, right? And I find the room. And when you're trying to look for a room in a hospital, it's not the easiest thing to do, especially when it's late at night. There's not a lot of staff. So I walk in and I see my sister-in-law, and in my head, I'm expecting the worst. I'm expecting to enter into a room and she's in tears, and your mind just goes to different places, dark places when you're in that situation. But her countenance, it seems okay. And I'm like, okay. And my mom and my dad are there. And so we get an update from Isaac. He's up in NICU. And as he's talking on the phone, he says that the baby begins to move on his own. And little by little, the baby begins, Gideon begins to breathe on his own. While he was talking on the phone, he begins to breathe on his own. And over the next, I guess it was 24 hours, little by little, they were weaning him off of the oxygen. At one point, they thought they were going to have to transfer him to Texas Children's because of the oxygen deprivation that happened at the beginning. They didn't know whether or not he suffered a mild, a moderate, or a very high amount of oxygen deprivation. And Texas Children's would have been the best place to treat him. And so they were kind of just waiting. They were assessing, okay? But I knew in that moment, it wasn't anything that I did that made it happen, right? All I can do in that situation when I can't do anything, and it really has nothing to do with me, but I am so affected by it, all I can do is seek his wisdom. That's all I can do. And that's all you can do. If you have a child that's completely out of your control, all you can do is seek his wisdom, right? If you have a job that may or may not be safe and secure, all you can do is seek his wisdom. And that's what I want for that. And I knew, and I was like, oh God, that's why. I had it backwards. It's not my knowledge of the facts that's going to make me smart. That's going to make me, and he talked about that earlier. The wisdom of God confounds, the wisdom of God is foolishness to the wise here on earth because it's backwards. The cross is so backwards. How is a suffering servant going to save and be victorious over sin and death? That's backwards. But that's how it works in the kingdom of God. How many of you here this morning want to receive the wisdom of God? How many of you here this morning have a situation that you've already kind of thought of and you're like, Lord, I need your wisdom about this situation, right? I do. And the Lord gives us a way. It's very easy. And it's in James 1. In verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, what do? You should ask God. Who gives frivolously, thriftly? No, generously, freely to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. God will give you his wisdom generously if you ask him. And a lot of times we do not ask because it's not what we seek first. Okay? And he does it without finding fault in you. Maybe you are the one who created that situation and those circumstances around you. Maybe it was because of your own mistakes. And now you need wisdom to know how to get out of it. Well, guess what? He's going to give it to you generously without finding fault in you. And you know why he does that? Why would he do that? Because if without that wisdom, you wouldn't know how to fix that fault in the first place. It's his wisdom that's going to help you get out of that situation. So I'm going to go ahead and end there, and let's just bow our heads. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Now, whatever it is that we're going through, Father, whatever it is that's presenting itself, and we may not know all the facts, or we may not have the control that we would like to have over that situation. Father, we want to make a declaration right now that we will seek your wisdom first in it. Lord, and by seeking your wisdom, by getting your wisdom, we will get understanding. We will get understanding of your unconditional love and favor for us. We'll get understanding and a deeper understanding of how you operate, Father, of your kingdom that is at work in us and around us, and how you want to operate through us, Lord, in Jesus' name right now. And Father, if we seek your wisdom, Lord, we know that you are faithful to give it to us generously, but we have to ask. So right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask for your wisdom for whatever situation that is. Father, we seek you first in your kingdom, and we just ask for your wisdom. And we believe by faith that you will give it to us, give it to it generously to us without finding fault in us, Lord. We thank you right now, Lord. We just worship you. We just worship you, Lord. We give you room in this place, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right. And everybody said, amen. Amen.